What's going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Picky Wine is that. Will be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Ja'Kalyn Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jessie.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlamagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor J. Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
Know your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Amen, amen, amen. This is Pastor Jalen. We're going to start off in normal fashion. And normal fashion is this. We're going to start with a scripture and a prayer. The scripture today we're coming out of is Isaiah 59:1. And it says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ears too dull to hear. God is near. I added that part, but that's what I got from it. God is near. He's able to come and save you from situations. He's never too far. He's always there for you. We just don't see it. But there's things that God have saved you from today that we took for granted. He heard your cry. He's working on the things that you've been praying for. He's working on the things that you've been trying to get out of, that depression, that funk, that situation, that financial bind that you did to yourself. He's making ways out of no ways to be able to help you. Amen. So just remember, God is never too far from you. He never left you nor forsake you, and is never too late. So God is there waiting for you, open arms, and just waiting for you to give your yes. Amen. Amen. Let's go into prayer. Dear Father God, we just thank you, God. We thank you, God, for providing protection. We thank you, God, for being able to bring us through this week. We thank you, God, for being able to be the God that is a provider, a God that is a healer, a God that is a protector, a God that loved us when we didn't love ourselves. God, we just thank you for all those things. God, we ask you to be able to let us be able to reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and even touch somebody with the hardest heart to say, what can I do to be saved? God, expand the territory of Anointed Radio to be able to get to new airwaves, to new countries, to new cities, to new people, to new stations. God, just open the floodgates to shower down some blessings on Anointed Radio to be able to be a great representation of you. God, show your light tonight, Lord. Let something be said tonight that could be able to bring someone closer to you. God, I ask you to be able to bless everybody under the sound of my voice, that they could be able to know that you're the God that could break every chain that has them bind, that you're the God that could be able to make a way out of no way. You're the God that could provide a way of escape. God, I ask you to touch everybody from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, that they could be able to understand that you are near, you are there, and that the evidence of you is in their everyday life. And God, we are thank you. We're going to thank you and continue to thank you for all the great things that you're doing in our lives. God, we just ask you to just be able to bless us, restore some relationships, God, reconnect some relationships, God. God, let us be able to give grace to ourselves as we give grace to others. God, let our hearts be able to be softened so we could be able to forgive people for who what they're going through does not affect us and to not take offense. God, and if we have an ought with our brother and sister, God, let us be able to go and fix that ought with our brothers and sisters. And God, let us be able to have our first words with love and kindness so that we could go forth in love and kindness in these conversations where we could mend relationships, where we could fix what has been broken and be able to communicate how we feel without having any type of issue. God, we just thank you. God, we glorify you. God, we praise you. And we said it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 It's Pastor Jay. And like always, I got something to say. And what I got to say is this: you can find me on all social media platforms at Anointed Jaylon, A-N-O-I-N-T-E-D. If you can't see it on the screen, Jaylon, not Jaylon, not Jailer. But Jaylon, I'll be performing and going places and going to radio stations. They be just wanting to call me Jaylon. They bought a vowel and they replaced it my O with an E and an I, but it's an O. I'm just saying there's power in the O. Everybody say with me, Jaylon. Shondo. Yeah, I'm just telling you, you just learned something right now. But I want you to make sure that you go and follow all my music. We know Spirit Flow the Me got to 1 million on SoundCloud and Can I Get a Little Grace? Got to 1 million on SoundCloud as well. So make sure that you go and get my music, Pastor Jaylon Calhoun, on all social media platforms and on all digital streaming music platforms. And buy my music, Jesus. Just saying. Streams, y'all know the streams ain't worth nothing. I tell people, support artists by buying their music. Praise God. Because that's going to go further than a stream. And go tell all your radio people, be like, hey, play my people. My people over here doing stuff too. So with that being said, we have a few absents. So let me go through it. We have Prophetess Tish. She over there going for a doctorate, y'all. She about to be Dr. Prophet Tish Sheard. But everybody, make sure you go follow her at Feverly Creations. And she has her Renewal in the Mind conference coming out in Huntsville, Alabama, coming up in June. And then we have the Glory Encounter by Prophet Brandon. And he has his event coming up where I'll be performing in April. So make sure that you go check Prophet Brandon as well. And Miss Keisha Glass, y'all, make sure y'all go check her out and all the things she's doing. She just had a whole magazine cover on her and they was talking about all the great things she was doing. So make sure you guys go check out Miss Keisha. But I have one of my co-hosts, my newest co-host, everybody's favorite, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, she'll fight you and pray for you at the same time in Jesus' name. Miss Yielded.
Amen. Good evening. Listen, I didn't know who you was talking about. Me fighting and praying for him. I got the fight part. You work on the prayer. How about that?
No, we're gonna deliver you from that, and we're gonna have you pray after you lay hands. Amen. Praise
there
God.
It is. Amen. We're doing that. What's
so
going on, Pastor?
Where can everybody find you at?
You can find me on Facebook as Yielded, and you can find me on Instagram at IBYielded, and also YouTube at IBYielded. And you can catch me every Tuesday on the Fire Show. Raise the Praise 100 Houston. How about that?
Amen. She did that thing. She plugged herself in. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, one thing I wanted to do is make sure we shout out everybody. But before we do that, make sure you share, like, subscribe. If you're listening in, go ahead and share, like, subscribe. Hit that like button. Them hearts, all that. Let us be able to see you. Shout us out where you're coming from. And make sure you share, like, and subscribe to all our different platforms. Shout out to everybody on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook, all the platforms that we are streaming on right now. We have a great show for you tonight, so make sure you share and tell your mama and them that we live. I'm just saying, we live to be able to come on and enjoy yourself. Come get you a seat. We non-denominational, so we not gonna kick you out. You don't gotta be born in it to come and watch. I'm just saying. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
With that, want to shout out our media partners, our sports media partners, the WNBA Lady Aces, our two-time champions here in Las Vegas. Shout out to them. Shout out to the Las Vegas Raiders, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, our other champions who brought a championship to Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Lights, the Las Vegas Aviators, and soon to be the Las Vegas Athletics. We just brought all parts of Oakland to Vegas. Next, we're going to take the lake. Lake Merritt. I heard Lake Merritt coming in 2030. You know, heard the Golden Gate Bridge might come next. You know, never know. This is just the whole Bay Area turning into Las Vegas.
Come on. So,
but we have a great guest today, powerful man of God. And he's going to come in and tell us more about his ministry and all the great things that he's doing. We have Mr. Deontay Duckett, y'all. Welcome. Ooh, come on. Oh, praise God. Praise God for the mute button.
Oh, come
on. Oh, I'm not muted anymore. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Praise God.
How y'all doing today?
Doing good. Awesome. So we want you to go ahead and tell all the people where they can find you, your social media, your all your links, your websites, all that good stuff.
Okay, well, Facebook, you can look me up at Deontay Duckett. That is D-E-A-N-T-E Duckett, as you can see on the screen. Instagram, same thing, Deontay underscore Deontay Duckett. Twitter, I don't have Twitter, thank the Lord. And then YouTube, Deontay Duckett, same thing, yeah.
I was going to say Twitter is unholy nowadays.
Yeah, no, we don't have that.
Oh.
It's not even called Twitter no more. That's how unholy it just went to X.
I think my it's not of God.
It's not of God. You say that, sir. Because
we're not doing that over here.
I mean, preaching heavy already.
Oh man, yeah. My God. You know, usually we do a icebreaker question, but today I was just wanted to talk about current events today. And current events today is about Mr. Ty Tribbett. If anybody was under a rock and you didn't know, he went on to the Breakfast Club and
I was under the rock because I was at a funeral. So please update me. I'm listening.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. So he was at the Breakfast Club and he said the church is whack. The institutional of the church is whack. And it caused a whole lot of uproar in the body of Christ. And I just wanted to open some open dialogue about that today. I'll start. I don't believe the church is whack. I think that what he's referring to is people not following principle. And let me break down that to you. How, like we heard on the last show with Griff, church people are mean. Yes.
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's true. I would agree to that.
The institution of the church is not whack. No, it saved me. I could tell you, I should not be on a Christian platform. If you knew my life before, the church brought me through and has brought so many other people through. So I can't say that is my testimony that the church is whack. What I've seen is a lot of hurt people from leadership. I've seen a whole lot of hurt people from the congregation and a lot of people forgetting that one principle in the Bible saying that if you have an ought with your brother or sister, go and fix that ought. Blessed be the peacemakers. They're not keeping it biblical. We're all in our feelings. And when you in your feelings, you preach out of hurt, you sing out of hurt, you treat people out of hurt. And then, yes, that experience with people, because if you take all your negative experiences, you see that it was a person. It was not the building of the church. You've been hurt probably more at work than what you have been at church. And knowing more about your relationship with God, it got to get to a point where we understand us as Christians are representation to the unsaved. And what's whack is what we're showing them. What is whack is us fighting each other. What is whack is us not supporting each other. What is whack is really how we treat each other. The loving kindness is missing. The forgiving heart is missing. That's whack. I don't think the church is whack. I'm opening up that to you guys. What do you guys think?
Listen, I'm going to let you go ahead, man of God. Go ahead, man of God. You good.
here's the thing. I can understand what he was trying to say. I will say the traditionalism of church, if we can say that, the Pharisee and Sadducee-ness of church.
Oh, my God.
And I don't want to step on any toes in denominations. I'm not going to do that. That's not what we're here for. But if they are still trying to, if the institution is still trying to operate pre-pandemic.
Come on, sir.
You didn't even go that far back. Just pandemic. Not. Gotcha.
Just 2020. If you're trying to go back to March of 2020 or before and have not caught up to where we are now, then I would say I would agree to not going with the new norm of what church is. And so I have to say the gospel is the same, but the method has to be different. How can you get new wine out of old wineskin? It's just the Bible says that we have to try a different method for this generation. Because even this pandemic babies, they're a little different. These pandemic babies are different.
They are.
And in the ones who had to go to school during this time, their attention span is different. So if you're not getting their attention in a unique way, you're going to lose them.
Yeah.
So I would say if they are still trying to operate as if they did back in, you know, 94, 2020, or, you know, 2011, they're gonna get left. So I wouldn't say the generalization of the institution is whack, but those who trying to still do what we used to do, but we're not there no more. You know, we're not there no more. And that's just what it is. That's just, it is what it is. So you is either, excuse, I don't want to say it like this, but either you poop or get off the box.
That's how you feel.
Poop or get off the pot. Either be going to do it for Jesus, not your personal denomination, not your personal preference, but kingdom.
Mm.
Kingdom principles. Then what are we doing it for? Because if we still fighting over, you know, the culture's going to get in, the apostolics is not, the Baptist is going to hit. If we still fighting over that, we missed the mark. We stuck. Yeah. You know, it's kingdom. How can we, as the body, enhance the kingdom? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I understand Ty, but I wouldn't put a generalization over. So yeah.
And when he goes back to it, it goes kind of back to like what I was saying.
Yeah.
The people, because when you go Sadducees and Pharisees, the Sadducees and Pharisees knew the word, but they didn't live the word.
They didn't apply it.
It goes back to people.
Yeah.
And relationships, leadership, all the way down to congregation, because some people will throw it and say, well, the leader should have been better. Well, there's jobs for the congregation to do too as a collective, because if someone comes into a church, until someone hit the stage, they don't know who the pastor or who is a regular member. It's all based off representations of how we show ourselves out there to the unsaved. I can tell you this, when I was atheist, I thought the church was they didn't read. You know, I preached this sermon. It said there's a lot of remedial saints because they keep going through the same lessons that God have gave you the instructions for, but keep failing and wonder why they feel stuck. Mm-hmm. God is giving you the same. It's not even changed. Like, he didn't even change the order of the tests. It's the same test, but we keep failing. And I put myself as a collective, because as the body, we're not mind oriented to the point of preaching the gospel so that others could be able to see the glory of God. We're to the point where it's numbers and competition and they ain't this and clicks and that. And because one thing that got me a long time ago, because I'm Baptist, but I had to get on myself and say, well, there ain't no Baptist section in heaven.
It's
servants. Were you a servant? I've read the scripture before. God will give you the desires of your heart, but you got to be able to serve his people. And if you can't deal with people, how are you gonna do ministry?
Can I piggyback off of what you just said when you said God gives you the desires of your heart? The revelation that I got is God gives you the desire to desire.
Mm. Come on, man of God, you preaching there.
He gives you what he wants you to have so you can desire it so he can give it to you. Yeah. You know, it's and when your will aligns with his will. And,
right.
And you gotta understand the difference between his perfect and his permissive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we get confused. Like, how come he's gonna let you go? He'll let the permissive happen until you get to his perfect. And what to go a little back further to what you were saying, a lot of it is self-entitlement.
Mm. Oh, there it is right there.
A lot of the saints feel because they are saved, they can just skate through half the stuff. And that's why they keep going through this revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
Because God keeps telling you, exit right there. And you feel, well, he ain't pushed me out so I can, you know, I'm just, no. He wants you to walk with the 2 feet he gave you out the door instead of going in a circle, you know, and I have to apply with my own life. I can't expect God to do what he promised until I fulfill my part of the clause.
Come on.
There's an if and then. If my people who are called by my name will hold themselves, then I hear from heaven.
Then. Don't run by that then.
There's an if and then. I'm going to go preach again.
I think I'm going to definitely jump in on this. I think I agree a lot with Brother Duckett here. You know, people have their own personal agenda, and they're pushing their agenda as opposed to the kingdom agenda, and somewhere in there the light fell off. They're Christ-like now. They've become Christ because the light is gone, and so now they are trying to portray themselves as the one, as the thing, the goal, and so it's lost because now they're pushing their agenda, and your agenda has become religious, and there's no relation. And when the relation is lost, then you just operating in yourself, and I'm just giving you what I got.
It's dead.
Yeah, you know, I'm just giving you all of me.
You know, and that brings up, I remember, God rest his soul, he was a great teacher. Pastor M.T. Thompson out of Berkeley, Mount Zion, said something to me that had it deep. He said, in the Bible, Jesus wanted us to be disciples. If you look back, the Romans called people Christian. That was a derogatory name, because these were people that knew Christ, that knew the foundation of Christ. But Jesus wanted us to be a disciple, to pick up our own cross and follow his ways. And that's something that we see now today, where we have to get to a point where we have to start, instead of being so caught up in the isms and the tradition, reestablishing that relationship with Christ and doing the things that might make you feel uncomfortable. Yeah, Jesus is telling you to go forgive that person. Yeah, Jesus is telling you to go pray for the person that you know talked about you. But at the end of day, Jesus never put nothing on you that he ain't never did. They talked about him. They persecuted him. My grandma always said that if they did it to Jesus, why wouldn't they do it to you?
Exactly. Absolutely. And right? That's when, you know, when you say we're tested in those places where we have to do those things, that's when we have to put on those Christ-like characteristics. And when we're operating in ourselves, those characteristics don't exist. And that's the reason that there's so much church hurt, because I'm operating in all me. I know how to be me. I've been me for as long as I've been born. But it takes a yielded vessel. Oh, hence the name. It takes a yielded vessel.
Come on, plug.
It takes a yielded vessel to be able to submit your will for his.
Absolutely. Fact. And like he said, when it said the word became flesh and dwelt among us, so he could identify with us, to identify what we go through. So we can say, okay, he went through this. This is how he made it out. So this is how I can. You know, he was 100% God and 100% flesh. And since, and where we, what we, I think where a lot of us mess up is that he gave us his own power. Mm-hmm. So just like he was 100% God, the 100% God lives in us. So we have the 100% God and flesh in us to live out how, just like he did, but we don't yield, plug you in too.
Oh, you better plug me.
We don't yield to that power. That's because it's so comfortable for us to do our own thing.
Sheesh.
And I know how comfortable and great it is to do your own thing. And God be like, get back over here, bro. Come on. You know. And sometimes you get tired of him whip you. Like, how many times you gonna let him? He gotta whip you to get it together.
Did you ever have that cousin that was slow and they just kept getting whooped? And you like, bro, just get right. Come on. I feel like that's how in my walk with God, I got to the point where I got tired of getting my head hit across the wall too many times.
You're right.
Come on, all right, God. I'd rather do that.
I was the one you only had to give me one time.
Mm.
I didn't need a reminder, because I hate being reminded of something. Tell me one time, and I got it. You ain't gotta come hit me again. Cause the first one got me looking at you a little sideways.
Yeah, and it ain't gonna go good if you do it again now.
I'm like, all right, you know, can only yield a little bit. You know, I'm not finna go through that one. I went through it one time, you know.
Yeah.
One time only. One night only.
Only one night though.
Only one night though.
No, we go to Dreamgirls. You know, but we was talking about Ty tripping, huh?
But I understand where he was coming from. There's a lot of people that are so religious that they're so heavily bound, but no earthly good.
No
earthly. Where he's coming from, because his feelings are valid. Everybody has feelings, and their feelings are valid.
It's theirs.
At the end of the day, I always put the charge, because we have a charge. We all do, because it even says if somebody slips away from God, and I'm paraphrasing, because of your doing, their blood is on your hands.
Absolutely.
That's a powerful charge that I've always sat here and thought, I'm like, I need to be, when it comes down, like my dad always said, if you're going to do church, don't play with it.
Yeah.
Don't play with it. God is nobody to play with.
Yeah,
and that's what it comes down to. We have to be a great representation, because some people will take what Ty Tribbett said as Bible, and they'll be like, yeah, and be able to start seeing, you know, oh, living through someone else's words instead of seeing it for themselves. So we just got to be careful.
And I'm Christ
for that.
I think we also have to understand that people have a right to feel how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if we agree or not, he has the right to feel from his experience, from what he sees, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's fact. That's just right. What he feels. And when we respect that, like I respect it. I hear you. But this is what I feel it is. And when we all put that together, there can then be, you know, some type of general ground found and stand on it and move forward.
And like I said, can I get a little grace? We all need some grace. Amen.
Come on, plug.
I'm going to just plug that, because at the end of the day, I just feel like the grandson off of Soul Food. Can't we just all get together for Big Mama and eat for Sunday dinner? Like, man, we could break bread and fix this stuff easily.
The thing is, they don't want to.
Facts.
One thing I've learned about people, especially us ones, that we find more delight in being broken, because it gets us more attention than being fixed.
Nah.
They feel the power is holding on when the power is really in letting go.
Right.
Yeesh.
It takes a real strong person to let go of what hurt you than to hold on to what's killing you.
Mm.
So they're walking around dead.
Yeah. And you know,
that's why nothing is growing. That's why nothing is matriculating and elevating. They're just dead corpse and dead relationships and dead churches and dead ministries, because people are holding on to dead stuff and not letting it go so they can grow. Something has to die in order for something else to live.
Facts. And we have to get to a point where we really want to live, because life is short. And, you know, one thing my therapist said is that you got to take the moment. Life is too short for you to hold on grudges. And I honestly believe, and y'all could quote me on this, I think dementia comes from an unforgiving heart.
Man, listen, I think all them ailments and illnesses derived from stress.
But I honestly believe, because if you think about anybody that holds on to that grudge, it's like a prison cell. because that's all they talk about. You could be talking about the baseball game and they say, remember when John did me wrong? John did you wrong 12 years ago. You still
holding on to it
about it like someone that got dementia. It's a lot of them similar things. And we have to let these things go for our own sake.
Yep.
Because a lot of times when we hold on to it, and this will be the last on that, we hold on stuff and it really starts to poison our mind where we can't appreciate what we have in front of us.
Absolutely.
So let go, let God, and forgive. And I'm not saying as a catechism, let me break it down to let go of what you're going to do and let God handle the situation. Pray for that person because it's hard to hate somebody you pray for. So pray for that person and really just give them to God, because I can tell you they ain't thinking about you. No matter how angry, no matter how many subliminal messages through Facebook, Instagram you make,
they are going to sleep.
They knocked out. Good sleep.
While and you are creating post after post.
And they restricted your account, so they don't even
see it. They don't even see it.
They don't look when they want to look.
Keep your peace,
hello,
brother and sister.
It's crazy when you said that. Bishop Younger, 2 weeks ago, he was doing a revival out here. He said reconciliation on one end says that we've cleared the debt. That does not necessarily mean that you can open up a new account. He said, I forgive you, but it does not mean I have to open up a new account with you. So we can wash it and make it clean, and there's no remorse. There's no remorse and not going back forward to it. But that doesn't mean I have to put myself back in that situation with you. Now that's real power, because I'm not opening up myself back to that place because we don't want to go through this again.
Right.
But it does not mean that I don't love you, and it doesn't mean that I'm not here for you. We just can't be here in that capacity. And I've had to learn that on both ends of that. You know, on the one end being the offended, and then on the other end being the offender. You know, you have to be okay with, you know what, sometimes they're not going to allow you back into that space in their life. And love them from the new normal. You know, and sometimes it's just bear on the other side.
See, you know, it's powerful. I had to learn this for self, because I used to be the person that used to get offended a lot. But God broke it down to me in this analogy. Have y'all ever been burnt before?
Define that.
Like just burnt. Like you was on the stove and you burnt your finger.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In that capacity, yes. Yeah.
Run a bucket.
Praise God. Jesus.
My mind went there too. Yeah. No.
You're saying that's it. No. Nope.
I'm not.
Lord of God. So when
you burnt yourself, let's say you touched the stove or hot grease popped you and it bubbles up, that area gets sensitive. But until you're healed, you don't let nothing touch that area.
That part.
In our relationships, when we get burnt in relationships, a lot of people are operating. That's where that hurt people. Because they so sensitive that even you could say something that's so normal, like, ooh, you know, you show was late. What you mean I was late? How are you doing? It's because they're already sensitive from an unhealed situation. When you can start putting yourself in shoes instead of catching the attitude, because I feel like that's insanity, that you matching people's energy just because they going through it. They angry, so now you angry. How that work? You should be able to be mature enough. I had to learn this. God dealt with me. Hallelujah. You have to be mature enough to see that they're hurt and it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Stop making it about you. And see, when God puts, and this is where the revelation is, when God puts hurt people in your way, start disregarding all the stuff that's coming out their mouth and see the spirit, because God might have assigned you a person that is speaking hurt, that is acting hurt and is acting real ugly, so that you could be the light in their situation instead of writing them off.
Right.
Definitely.
And God had to get on me about it, because I match. I was the matcher of energy. Hello, somebody. You got attitude with me.
Yeah,
attitude too.
Taste of I am, and I'm the block king.
Man.
Not the block king.
Man.
And Pastor Jay, you was talking about that hurt people. We end up inflicting pain because, again, it's not healed. But let me just show you exactly how that works in the body. Now, I'm going to give you the body. You know, the nurse is tapping in, but we're going to use the body as in the church. Around here telling everybody my right hip was hurting. Something wrong with my right hip. My right hip is killing me. I don't know. I was doing everything I could trying to figure out what was wrong with the right hip, only to discover that my left kneecap was broken.
Oh.
I was guarding that injury and inflicting more pain on something that didn't even have anything to do with it. It was the knee on the opposite leg that was injured. But because I favored it and stayed on this right side to prevent that from hurting, now my hip and my knee is hurting. So in the body, we, Ty Tribbett, begin to project that pain somewhere else. And yeah, he may have a valid feeling, whatever's going on, whatever is the instance. And the thing that we have to understand is that the church is not the building. The church is the people. And I'm going to have to agree. Some of these people whack. I ain't going to say everybody. Some of them whack. That's all I got to say. But my knee my knee is on the mean, and I can almost wear heels.
It's just like a toothache. You think it's one tooth. You think you got a cavity. You need a root canal all the way on the side. But the pain is shifting. It's like having a hangnail on your pinky and your toe hurt. You know, it's just what happens. Because we don't pay attention. Because the body speaks.
Yeah. It does. Oh, come on, the body.
The body speaks.
Y'all didn't catch that.
Don't take time to listen to it. The body is prophetic. God spoke us into existence. So the fact that we're speaking beings, we speak things, you know, and our bodies speak to us, but we don't take, because we're so busy speaking to other stuff and doing other things, that we don't listen to ourselves. And that can go to the church, because the body speaks, and the fact that we're too busy trying to handle everything else, we're missing that sometimes the inner circle needs to be fixed first before we can go get the people out there. Because what are we going to bring them to?
This mess? An infection.
I honestly believe, like, that generalization, the church is whack as a whole. No, the institution of what it is, of what has brought a lot of people from brokenness, is really, really a movement. But a lot of times people confuse that, because your season was done at a church and you didn't want to leave.
God was trying to get you out of there.
God had to push you out, and you felt it as like, man, I feel some type of way. Well, God was
telling you,
2 years. Your ministry here is done. For 3 years, your ministry is done. And then you just take it instead of listening. Because if you really would have listened, you would have understood, and it would have confirmed to you. Okay, instead of saying the church is whack, just say, hey, you might be in a church that you're aligned with what God has for you. And that's true. You're not going to everybody is scared to say this. And as a pastor, I say it out there. I rather you go out and start a ministry than to be dead inside of a church under me. Because if God has brought you out, the main thing that he told you is go out and share the gospel.
Go eat that for
under me. I'm supposed to just train you to give you the tools. And that's how you build legacy, ministers and pastors, to give you the tools so that you could go out and start a ministry to reach people I would have never touched, but I planted the seed in you.
Yeah.
It's okay to move.
Everybody don't want your
members too. Everybody don't want your members, because I can tell you right now, if you really wanted members, you would go outside in these streets where there's a mega church in these streets of unchurched that you ain't tapped into yet.
I'm mad, and I think it's whack that you got 20-year lay members. That's what I'm mad about. I don't like it. This shouldn't be lay 20 years. That's just, I mean, I didn't see it anywhere in the church protocol, but I mean, lay just means you unlearned. 20 years? Then Reverend, Pastor, Preacher, Teacher, you're not doing your job. They've been lay for 20 years. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's yikes.
That We're going to leave on that note. With that being said, everybody, make sure y'all.
Now on to him.
Only one night. Only one
Where's
night.
Where's the claps? Where's the claps?
Yeah.
Now on to him who's able to keep us and present us thoughts.
It was some teaching tonight. It wasn't planned, but it was definitely some teaching tonight. You get it when you get home.
When ministers get together, it's just what happens.
It happens. So going into our official interview side, we're going to go ahead and introduce.
That's what we're here for.
Let's have a revival. If you want to go ahead and donate, I do too, and I love to read the Bible. And I see that a lot of people.
It was a whole lot more that we could have dug into. It was like, no, that's for another time. Y'all have to call me back.
We got you. We'll come back on that.
This is
so
good. Ty, say something again so we can talk about it. All right, next.
Call us and say it.
Right. Tell me what you, Ty Tribbett. Go ahead and come on and really break down, because I, you know, one thing, and I'm gonna get off this. Us as the body of Christ,
it's like you say, you're gonna close, and 5 minutes later, you're still going. Come on,
man. Y'all preachers close more than a little bit.
So I'm gonna close with this.
They close more than they open.
I just wanted to say this. We gotta get to a point where we gotta understand when you go on platforms that don't care about our field. What do you expect? Even if that wasn't how you saw it,
you just said something so profound right there.
They was going to make it seem like that, which, Ty, if I was your manager, bro, you messing your money up. You just announced a tour, and you got saints that you know is going to feel some type of
way. Wrong place to say that, because they already feel as if we're a certain way. So if he said the church is whack, then I really don't need to go now.
You see what I'm saying? It's not even on no condemning thing. I just think if I was on the management side, bro, you got to remember where you at. Like, talk about your tour and don't get baited, because you got baited and you fell for it and they used you. Why out of all of that whole interview, the only thing they got from that is you said the church is whack. They didn't talk about your tour. They didn't clip that. The tour, go get your tickets. They didn't clip how you just did a whole reunion tour with Kirk Franklin and the Clark sisters. They didn't talk about nothing that they just said. Look at your, it's like what the enemy do. Look at your Christian over here saying that y'all are trash.
Out of all the good you do, they pick out the one wrong or the one bad. Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, what do you expect from those platforms that is not geared? I'm gonna say it, because I just saw it at the Super Bowl. I can say it now. I'm gonna say it. We got to get to a point where gospel people, we play y'all records. Y'all gotta start treating us a little better, because y'all run and stop and skip and jump.
Man of God, what is that on you?
Run, skip,
that's jump. The lampshade. That's
And everything for Essence and Breakfast Club and all that, but they don't even play your records.
Ain't thinking about you. After
you left, they got you for clickbait, for clout. And now the body of Christ, you got to deal with, because that is your base.
But the thing that's so unfortunate about our culture.
You did not come on here to talk about Ty Tribbett.
That's what's going to sell, the controversy.
And that, because that's what the people want.
Mm-hmm. Drama.
That's why there's so much reality TV.
TV, yes. All these housewives and
so many series and stuff, because they want the drama.
Yep.
Now, we can really give you some really good drama in the church, because we got way more than what is out on the streets. If you want that you can have
never
it.
Never learned on that.
But that's, we're not going to go there. Praise God. So, yes.
Amen. So we're going to go ahead and talk to
I'm here. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. The powerful man of God. We're going to introduce to some and reintroduce to others real Baptist way. Mr. Deontay Duckett, we're going to ask you the first question. The first question would be this. Where is your hometown and where do you reside now?
So my hometown and where I reside now is Los Angeles, California. I am born and raised. I was born in Hollywood, California. Grew up in South Central, right in the hood, Florence and Normandy, where the riot started. So yes, I am a hood baby. Praise God.
And I
love it, you know. Hood smart and street smart and Jesus smart.
Amen.
Come on. Gotta be to survive in these streets. But yeah, I am born and raised here, Los Angeles. Okay.
So what got you to start singing?
So I started singing at the age of 2. My entire family sings. My mother's side and my father's side. Grew up in a single mother home, single family home. My mother raised me and my father was very present. So I have both influences. But my mother's side, every May, my mother's maiden name is May. So every May, my grandfather would make the May family have a concert. So that was kind of like my training camp and my training ground. My mother was a director. And my aunt would be over that. So that's pretty much where I got my grooming at, how I got to plan concerts and teach parts and prepare and do set design and all that at 12 and 13 years old. So they kind of got me going. My grandfather would sit me in front of the gospel keynotes. I would cry all day. And when he sit me down in front of the gospel keynotes of the Wyndham Brothers, I stopped crying. I was a music baby. And he rest his soul. He was my biggest influence to get me started with this music thing.
So you would say that he was the one that inspired you more in the music? Okay.
He was my biggest inspiration. He was my biggest inspiration. And then my Aunt Terry. My Aunt Terry, she, in the 8th grade, she left our home church, which was Greater Starlight, and she went to Tree of Life. Tree of Life had this choir called The Voices of Watts. The Voices of Watts was like one of LA's first traveling community choirs. And that's where the church at James Cleveland was ordained to be a minister. So before he founded Cornerstone, he was the pianist at Tree of Life. So that's kind of where my history began, because that's the church that my mother met my father. So my dad and my aunts and my mom all got to sing with Cleveland. And then my manager, Sivan, was one of Cleveland's drummers at the time. So I kind of I was introduced to the rich history of gospel very early, very early.
So I would have to ask you, so what was your first introduction into the industry of putting music outside of church?
Wow. So my very first was we did a commercial in high school. I went to George Washington Preparatory High School and I was a part of the music management program. And we did a commercial for United Care. I had to be about 15. And that's when I started getting those residual checks.
Oh, come on.
Still comes to this day. Maybe 25 cent now, but we thank God that they still come. So that was my first introduction. And from singing with them, we got to tour with Jackson Browne, Carlos Santana. I was afforded the opportunity to do George Benson and Al Jarreau's project called Giving It Up. We were the BGVs for the title track. And then we did Ray Charles's album. He did a duet with Gladys Knight, so we're on that song. So I was able to do all of my secular work in high school. Still some now, but most of my accredited things that I can still go into discography and look up is from those days.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that just took my question. So go ahead, Pastor Jay. You got to come up with another one now.
Ask it again. Go ahead, because I don't mind saying it again.
No, I was just going to ask, was there ever a chance when you veered away from gospel into secular music? And so...
Yeah, so it's, gospel was was church first. I really didn't do like industry gospel stuff until later in my 20s when we started doing like the celebration of gospel, BT stuff. And then I would start doing like different little BGV gigs here and projects here and there. A lot of BGV stuff, but it was more so R&B and pop and rock stuff before the gospel, industry-wise for me.
So what would you say from those experiences prepared you to now be in the industry as a gospel artist?
The business side. I think what a lot of people fail to realize is that even gospel is a business.
Facts.
And a lot of these people don't really represent Christ like they should.
Ain't nobody's told.
Just telling the truth. And I'm going to say no names. It's just what it is. And I have to remind myself daily that we do this for Christ. We do this for God. Although it's a business, I still represent him. So if it's something that he's not going to be pleased with, I'm just not doing it. I don't care what the check is. If I have to compromise my relationship, sorry, not happening. But it taught me how to prepare for the now, business-wise. Know what the right deal is. Know to look at the fine print on the contract. You know, thank God for mentors like Calvin Bernard Roan, who was a legend in the gospel industry, who took the time with us as young lads to teach us the industry and the do's and don'ts and what to look out for, and to know it's okay to give a little bit of your rights up, but don't sell yourself. You know, you can give them a couple of percentages, because your 50 with them will be more than your 100 by yourself. So, I thank God for the legends and the people who helped get me where I am, so I can pass it along to the ones that's coming after me.
So do you remember your first project as a gospel artist coming from background as now in front?
My very first project is gospel.
Yep.
Will be my debut. I released my, oh, as a writer or as an artist? Because that's what makes a difference.
That's a good point. So let's go with, as a writer.
So as a writer, my very first song that received placement, wow, who was first? I would say it was the LA Contemporary Adult Division of GMWA. So I'm a part of GMWA, Gospel Music Worship of America, the LA chapter, and I wrote a song called It Belongs to You. They recorded it first, and then Patrick Riddick recorded it after them. From there, I believe it was Malcolm Wilson in Buffalo who recorded another song, and I can't even think of the name of it, and I wrote it. But then the major one after that was Christopher Irvin in AD, Nothing Too Hard. That was the first one I got a radio check from.
Awesome. So
this is what I'm doing. I'm going to be a writer.
That's a blessing. Yeah. So Deontay, how has life balancing, you know, walking into this celebrityism, being ministry, being gospel, being all of that, how are you maintaining balance as far as a personal life?
I work a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday.
That's balance. All right.
So keep from 8 to 5, don't call me with no music stuff. I am working. And that's what I be telling like my team, like, yo, I know I got to do X, Y, and Z, but right now I got to pay bills. And right now this is funding the dream, because when you're an independent artist, there's no one saying, hey, this is an advance. This is, you know, people are giving and they're blessing, but for us to do what we're doing on this level now, I got to come out some nice change to put, you know, line all my ducks in a row. So I have to handle my business. So I work a 9-to-5. And then from there, I balance my life, music and church. It kind of goes together for me, because most of my music is at the church. And then, and I try not to do too much to overwhelm myself. And then I take time for me. I'm going to take a day to do absolutely nothing but Deontay stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's watching Wildin' Out in my bed.
Amen. That's some balance right there.
You have to press the reset button and detox.
Yes.
Because sometimes we can even put too much spiritual stuff. Sometimes you gotta let that settle and breathe it and live in that, you know, and let it, you know, dry out. So,
you know, it's crazy you said that, because once again, my therapist said this. When you preach, you got to let that same sermon that you just preach back to you.
Absolutely.
And that's taking that time to be able to really receive what you just put out, because it's not just for the people. It's for you as well. And I think that a lot of times, from what you were saying, we get to a point where we do. And if COVID didn't show you, like, you need to slow down.
Absolutely. And you take care of yourself.
You really need to get yourself together. Do you know why you do these things? Because I can tell you, I remember I was at a war show and this and that and this. Pastor Jay was everywhere, and I got to a point where I was like, I'm running in place.
Mm-hmm.
I did do things with now a purpose and a need, because instead of being seen, I need to know that there's a purpose in God. Feel more that God's sending me there for a reason.
Absolutely.
Going. Because COVID really, man, if you ain't dealt with yourself during COVID, I don't know what you was doing. You had friends, because
you were asleep.
I'm telling you, because I was dealing with myself. I was absolutely. Like, man, I had absolutely. All these masks on. I had to take off and be like, okay, now this is you. What you got?
Hello.
This is what you got. So I'm going to ask you this question. What was the hardest situation that you've had to deal with in your career in music?
Saying no.
Elaborate on that.
Sometimes want to do for everybody, because we know exposure, you know, is always, you know, what is needed. You want people to know who you are. But sometimes you have to say no, because you can't do everything. And I had to turn down a very, very big opportunity because of a previous commitment. And it hurted me to the bone, because I felt as if I missed it. I missed that opportunity. Then God realized, that ain't all I got for you. If you thought that was it, you don't know who I am then.
Mm.
You know, so sometimes saying no is okay. But at the moment, I didn't understand, like, oh my God, I had to turn it down, like, oh Jesus, you know, oh my, you know. But that was the hardest thing for me to do, was say no. I don't really care about people talking, you know. People say, oh, people talking about me. They're going to do that regardless of if I'm good or bad. So do what you will. It's okay. They talked about Jesus. Who are me to judge?
Right.
So, but yeah, saying no is like one of the hardest things that I have to do. And even like not giving a song to somebody because the Spirit told me not to.
Mm. So let's talk about that. That's from the writer's side.
Yeah.
How has that journey been? Because like I've talked to a lot of songwriters before. I'm a songwriter. I've wrote songs. I said, this ain't mine. I'm mad because it's fire. Like, I want to go record it, but God told me it ain't yours.
Nope.
How have you processed that when you're writing a song and you feel like God has given it to someone else? Like, how have you dealt with that?
I can give you something better. It's when God gave you a song and you didn't do nothing with it, and you heard somebody else write it.
Ooh.
Slap upside your head.
Because I'm not going to tap in too deep. But anytime you release something in the atmosphere, it's up for grabs for anybody to get it.
Facts.
You know, and it's been a moment to where I heard something in a dream and I didn't pull out my phone. And it wasn't nothing that I heard before, because I would have known that I heard before. But because I didn't, and I was singing it out, I released it. Somebody else grabbed it.
Mighty God.
And some people don't believe in that, but if you're spiritual, you understand exactly where that is. But it's even been a moment to where I wrote a song, and I thought it was going to go to somebody, and God was like, no, that's for you. And I was like, but I'm not going to give it the justice that they would. God was like, because it's not supposed to go nowhere. This is for you.
Mm.
This is what you need to get through, what you're going through. So sometimes you just say, okay, Lord, because his will is so sovereign, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. So what we think is going to be that hit, sometimes it's just what's going to save your life.
Man. You know. So Deontay, I know as a creative, we have a million jillion ideas, thoughts, God-given, just personal.
We're bipolar. Given.
Yeah. look, polypolar. It's many people up in there, many things.
Legion, we are many. He's not here though.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Not them. But you know, with all of these ideas, even the God-given or just the ones that are just within our own creative space and place, what would be your best word of advice or encouragement to that individual that is just like kind of cycling out of control because they're so creative but not really doing anything?
Take time to breathe. Take time to breathe, to pause, to reflect, you know, on what he is saying, and write it down. and be obedient to his voice. Because sometimes we don't trust him because we don't think he's that close, as we don't feel we're as close to him as we are. Mm-hmm. And that could be because of our own personal guilt, our own personal insecurities. We're second guessing ourselves, we're doubting ourselves. But we're really doubting him, if we want to be honest. We have to trust him enough to know that if he gave me something, he's going to fulfill what he spoke unto me. And regardless of how long it takes, mm-hmm. it's going to happen. Prime example, I'll say this, and I share this openly, because I love being where I'm at now, and I love that God made me wait. But I remember teaching It Belongs to You in 2016, I believe. In the same year, Vincent Bohannon taught Sound of Victory, GMWA. We talked to the YYA department. It was the opening song. He was the closing song. And my song, of course, it was amazing. His song, of course, was amazing. But right after that, Vincent shot, you know, to the top. I mean, Scott rocketed to the top. And I was like, dang, you know? We was at the same place. And one thing I did not do was get envious or mad, but I admired the fact that this boy was able to just do what he loved to do, and it just happened for him. Mm-hmm. And you see so many people after that happened. I'm like, okay, God, so when? Okay. Ooh, I'm writing and I'm submitting over here. Okay, when is that going? Okay.
How about me?
18. 20. Pandemic, nobody's doing nothing. Okay, cool. Then drop an album in 2021. People are like, how did you drop an album in the middle of the pandemic? I don't know, it was a God thing. Remind you, I recorded my album in 2015. It took us 6 years to release it.
Mm.
That's a whole nother thing.
Gotcha.
To fast forward to working with Quadra Salters at convention, and Quad was like, we're gonna work together. Your next project, we're going to do together. And I'm like, okay, sure, whatever. I don't know what he's talking about. Like, whatever. And when I decided to do my choir record, I said, why not go to the guy who is working with the choir master, Ricky Dillard himself, and ask him to, you know, do your choir record. And from working with him, he's playing, you know, my tunes in the car going to rehearsal. And Ricky's like, what song is that? I want it. He's like, oh, that's the young cat from L.A., Blase Blase. Get the call. Oh, Ricky is going to record one of your songs. And I'm like, who? Who? You know, he wanted three, but he only did one. And to now be in the place to where you can see the harvest happening, you know, thinking back to 2016 when he was wondering when will it be your turn. And God's like, okay, so now what you're going to do about it?
Hmm.
You can't gloat here. So now it's like, okay, now that I'm living, now that my dream has become a reality, I have to go back to sleep to dream again.
Ooh, man. Say that again for the slow church.
That dream has become reality, I have to go back to sleep to dream again.
Mm. Wow.
And most of the time we ain't doing nothing because we still woke. We ain't went back to sleep.
Mm.
And that's where the rest happens, is in our sleep, when God talks to us most of the time.
Oh, come on, man.
Go to sleep. Take a nap.
Go take a nap. We rest.
Not right now. Get up.
Oh. So, you got your new album coming out, Survivor.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. What was the inspiration behind?
It's multi-inspirations, but the main inspiration was... all of us, everybody in this world surviving the pandemic. Those of us who God did not call home during COVID, we lost a lot of family members, a lot of people, a lot of leaders. But God's grace is what sustained us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his code that he gave us to survive. And then I look at my mother's illness. My mother was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease about 14, 15 years ago, and the doctor told her she'll never walk again. She'll never be able to do daily activities on her own. She will never be able to. She gained a whole lot of weight. Her skin was discolored. She was very bloated, and God miraculously restored her. She still has the, you know, autoimmune disease, but thanks to medicine and God's healing power, she lost the weight. Her, you know, muscles are back active. She doesn't have any spills or anything like that. And she's one of my main sopranos who shots all over the place. So she was one of my main inspirations just to testify about God's goodness through good church choir music. Before, you know, the LED screens and, you know, the lights and all of that, when we still had risers in the choir set and choir robes, we had some really good choir music. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go back to that place where it felt good to sing. You know, when you was excited to go to choir rehearsal, you wasn't worried about getting a check. You just wanted to be in the choir staying with your friends, because mm-hmm. that was your safe place, your safe space. That was your outlet. So this record is to take people back to that place where choir music was fun and good, and before all of this amazing CCM stuff came out. But that's the whole purpose of the Survivor's Code.
That's dope. And I love choir music. I think a lot of us started in the choir with them itchy hot robes that we had to have. That was probably from 1960.
Oh, we're bringing them back.
Them robes. That's one thing I did was appreciative when we just wore matching outfits. I said, at least it's not this hot.
I didn't have to worry about what I was going to wear. I didn't have to go shopping. I just knew I can go right to the closet and just
some nice shoes.
That was it. Because I was all, and that was back when the Stacey Adams. I knew all I had to do was ask Stacey Adams.
Oh, them shoes hurt so bad.
Yes,
so it's Survivor's Code. We're going to have some of that good old rocking, choir rocking, swinging them robes. We're going to see all that.
And sleeves and weaves is what I say. Sleeves and weaves.
Sleeves and weaves.
Okay, I'm going to sleep again. Good night.
That's what we doing over here.
Oh, y'all better rock it out now.
So when is the debut for the release?
So I'm going to say the end of May. I will not release the date yet because we believe in God to do some things. Hello. But the end of May is when the whole CD will be available. But they can go get that single right now.
And y'all know, go ahead and tell them where to get the single at.
So the single Deliver Me is available on all digital outlets. But what we would like for you to do, saints of God that are watching, please go to iTunes. Although Spotify and, you know, Apple Music and Amazon Music is great, but please go to iTunes and just pay that 99 cent and download our single. We would greatly appreciate it because people don't know. That's where the billboard comes in.
Mm-hmm.
From them purchases. Amen. Praise God.
From iTunes. Tell them
iTunes. So iTunes is one that I know for sure. I know Amazon Music, you can purchase some stuff. But what I know for sure, and I know, you know, Spotify, there's, it's just all downloading and streaming. Most people think when they go to Apple Music because they pay their $9.99 a month. Oh, yeah, I got your song. No, baby, you just downloaded it and saved it. You know, Apple got that music. It didn't come to us. They don't know. It's like it takes 15,000 streams to get like equivalent to one purchase.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's injustice. Like we all know about the story about Snoop Dogg getting a billion streams and getting $20,000.
That's it.
Offset. That's super offset. But with your project, what is something that you have upcoming that you want the people to know about? Any new books, movies, concerts, music videos?
So we do have a music video that is on YouTube and on Apple Music. The Deliver Me music video is out. We are preparing for our release concert, which is May 31st. It will be in the city of Inglewood at the Breath of Life SDA Church. That's Los Angeles, California. There's a couple of other things that are not confirmed that when we will be able to announce it, it will be great. So I'll make sure that I put it on all social media outlets so you guys can know. But I'm working on a couple of, you know, I don't want to say non-churchy things, but things that are not just music, but life things to enhance our platforms and just to, you know, to get us out there. because it's just more than music to what I do. So I want the people to get to see the other side of me. There's a goofy side, and then there's a fashionably creative side, because I love to make the people look good.
Oh,
oh yes. Oh, yes.
You better dress up the saints.
I do. I mean, I dress the choir all the time, so I get tired of that because I want somebody to dress me. Like, all my friends are like, no. Like, all of the my industry friends, you do so good, but I don't want to.
Sound like that's coming from a place.
A very irritated place. Very irritated. I will be very honest. I'm irritated when I got to shop for myself.
Oh, praise God. He's asking for sponsorship if you didn't read between the lines.
So, I mean, I don't mind paying for myself. I just don't want to go do. I don't want to. Come on.
Put him together is what he said. Put it together for me.
Those of you, I'm not going to call no names, but you know who you are out there in Houston. Friend, you know who I'm talking to. I ain't gonna say no names. He knows exactly who he is. He used to be in LA, but now he's in Houston. And you probably gonna see this whole person. Love you, brother.
What's his name? Ain't nobody here.
I'ma say it offline.
Okay.
Starts with a U.
Tell me when you send me your music.
Starts with a U.
Yeah. And I'm gonna show everybody. I put my phone up just like this.
Right. No, but like I have really great friends who have excelled in the fashion industry, and they're like, bro, you do so well, you don't need us. That don't mean just because I don't need you don't mean I don't want you to do it. Like, you know, I get tired of having to figure out what I'm gonna wear because I'm very indecisive. So And when I plan an outfit, I don't get no compliments. When I just throw stuff on, when people start saying, oh, you look nice. I didn't even plan this.
I just woke up like this.
It happened. So I'm gonna just throw stuff on and just say, oh, okay, whatever.
It was creative.
Put it in the private
chat. Right.
Put it in the private chat. I want to know who it is.
No, don't do it. You just don't
she
do
did,
it.
She did.
I cannot.
Who is it?
Well, you finna be my real friend after this. You finna be my real friend.
Yeah, tell me who it is.
Somehow I made it. Oh yeah, this is great. You guys are amazing.
Awesome. You know, we appreciate.
I have to watch the show every time he come on now.
Oh yeah, we appreciate it because you know, we just some saints that like talking to other saints and everybody.
And it's needed because we try to be so deep all the time.
Facts.
And Jesus was even all that deep. Like people talking to him, he was writing in the sand, ignoring them.
I was just about to say he was playing in the dirt, bruh. What are we doing? He out there building sandcastles.
He's like, oh, you talking to me? He's like, oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, you know, it's like, anyway, that's not why we're here.
But anyway. No, I think the amazing part about Jesus is when he went with the boy that was possessed, and he was like, he rolling on that flow for sure. Do you even believe that I could do it? Because I heard some things about how you didn't even believe.
See, there is what I call sweet shade with the Lord.
Yes. Oh,
that is nice. That's going to be something. Creative juice is just going.
Write it down, man. Yeah, write it down. Because you done put it in the atmosphere. Write it down.
With the Lord. Get my phone is, this is my phone. Sweet shade with the Lord. But, you know, people will misconstrue that like they did with everything else in life. So, anyway, who cares? But he was human at the same time he was God. Mm-hmm. So he knew exactly what to say to you to get your attention, but then gave you the solution at the same time. So you had to check, you had to look down and see that you was bleeding, but he had already wiped the blood up before you can even, you know, they're not ready for that kind of ministry though.
No, they're not.
Especially because they wasn't ready. Because a lot of people would have got yelled at by Jesus, just like he yelled at the disciples, like, man, y'all can't stay awake for real.
I left you for listen, that's the part that I'm stuck in. That's my Christ-like characteristic. I'm gonna turn the table over, Negro. That's me. Yes, because I'm kin to Peter on my mama's side.
I want somebody I want you to do this during communion. They don't do the juice right. Just flip the communion.
You want me to be on Larry Reed?
That would have happened yesterday in my
Larry Reed, live. They're gonna clip it. I can see that now. I'll flip a table.
And it's gonna be called Commune with Yourself.
Listen, that's a mess. Turn the communion table over. I'm telling you.
Commune at home. You're done.
It's over. It's Take done.
Communion. Go home.
Everybody. It's blessed. Amen. Hilarious. So one thing I want you to be able to leave with the people and the especially because there's a lot of independent artists. What encouragement would you tell them? Because, you know, a lot of people, that's one thing I wanted to start Anointed Radio is so people that could be able to hear from other people's heart, some encouragement that has been there, done that, got a postcard. So what encouragement would you give to the independent artists right now?
I would tell them to never give up. It's not easy. It gets very hard. Sometimes you feel like you're by yourself. Sometimes you feel nobody understands, but know that we are all out here doing all that we can to make it in this thing called the industry, and invest in yourself. Be okay with making some sacrifices. I had to go back to corporate America to do what I had to do so I could do what I want to do. And it wasn't until God blessed me with my own business that allows me the flexibility to work and build at the same time. Now that I am my own boss, I can say I'm not working today. I'm just going to go and eat. Because now I'm in a place to where God has blessed me to do what I love to do. And I always pray that the Lord will give me the type of job to fund my own dream. I don't want to wait on nobody else. I don't want to wait on a handout. Lord, open my brain to wherever the revenue is, you know, wherever your blessing, send me to that location. And he'll do it if you really trust him. My faith is so crazy in God. I believe God for the most ridiculous stuff. So my best advice is to just trust his voice, never give up, and connect yourself with like-minded people, people who have been where you're trying to go, not people who... You know, where are you guys located? You in Vegas, right? And where are you?
Houston.
Okay. Oh, that's where you. Oh, yeah. That's why you said what you. Okay. Anyway. Yeah.
Tell me who.
Yeah. Tell me who she was.
So I can go see him tomorrow. Inquiring minds want to know.
Was that Friday?
Yes.
But connect yourself with like-minded people. And people who want to see you win, you know, and don't be afraid to ask for help, you know, because you can't do this by yourself. You can't do it on your own. I used to want to do it all by myself, and it wasn't until God graced me with a team of people who was willing to help me get to where I'm at now. I'm able to say I'm on my way somewhere. I don't know where I'm going. But I do know it has a great end. It has a great end. Yeah.
Yes.
So, especially, man, you know, it's crazy when you were saying about that. I was just thinking about, I have this painting that my brother-in-law built. Well, not built, painted. And they got me and Mike Tyson there, and I'm in the ring just scared. And he's like talking to me like my coach. That's my favorite boxer, the best boxer in the world. And that's the quote that Mike Tyson said that is on my painting is that everybody that you fight with ain't your enemy, and everybody that help you ain't your friend.
Yep.
And when you sit there and you think about it, it's just kind of like you got to have that perspective. And really, because you're going to see people that you want to surround yourself with people that want to see you win.
Yeah.
Not compete, not well, get jealous, but win. Because when you said that about when you saw Vincent, I know so many people that would have took that as like, God, why not me? And then bashing him. But then, you know, if you look at the blessing in that, you still see that God is in the blessing business. You was in the same place where you got to witness with your own two eyes the growth. So if he
Do it for you.
And to be connected to the same people. And here's the thing. What God told me, he said, Deontay, you wasn't ready.
Mm. Ooh, that's deep.
You wasn't ready. He said, would you? It almost came out. I almost ripped a good one out. But sometimes we can want. Shut up, Holy. Okay, Lord. Okay. But sometimes we can want that for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
We can want it for a personal gain. Oh yeah, let me get that many followers. Here's what's all in my DMs this week. See, when I get to that, you know, that's the sad reality. That's just what a lot of people are thinking. And I remember being in that place where I used to think like that, and I'm not afraid to say it, because when God really releases you from some stuff and release you from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you live in not in perfection, but in freedom. To know now that he trusts me with it now, because I can trust myself too. You know, I can trust me. I'm so grateful for his grace. I'm so grateful for his love. I'm so grateful. But yeah, be real. We don't need no more carbon copies and no more people who, you know, acting like they got it together and really don't. These people would eat that up, you know. But real recognize is real.
Because real recognize real.
He had told you he had that street intellect earlier. You had missed it.
Yeah.
You know, it come in and out. I'm like, all right. Yeah,
you know, because, you know, at the concert at Inglewood, he going to have Randy's Donuts in the background sponsored.
You know, that's a good idea. Why did you say you walking in prophetics?
A little bit, you know, a little bit. And my stomach said with
the funny thing is Randy's Donuts is literally 5 minutes from the church that the concert is going to be at too. It's right.
Oh, I know. Cause when you said it, I said, oh, there's Randy's. I was like, if I go out
thank
there,
you God. I think y'all need to be coming on down. Praise
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know who Randy is.
Oh, you missing out.
Randy, he's a nice fella. He's big and circle and got a hole in there. He's a donut.
Oh.
Mighty God. Don't even worry about it. I'm sorry. I don't know Randy. I'm sorry. I meant you.
Randy. Give it up for Randy Watson.
That bug good. That bug good.
Oh, God. I love movies too. So I love comedy. So
I'm my diabetics. Go. He's good and horrible. But, amen.
Thank you.
One thing I want to go ahead and just say, we appreciate you for coming on the show. Because, like,
thank you
I
guys for having everybody. Me.
Like, you coming and spending time with us is the most valuable thing you had, because you can't get it back. I ain't got refunds for your time. Can't even give time back.
But and it was needed today. I actually buried, we buried my last, my grandfather's last living sibling today, my mother's last uncle. So it's was a bittersweet day. So this kind of helped get past that and get moving. And people knocking on the door, like they don't know I'm doing an interview right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be like that. And with that knock, it's like the Apollo. So we're going to go ahead and just say, in behalf of Anointed Radio, we thank you for coming on tonight. And like I tell everybody,
mm-hmm. everybody,
for the last 7 years, you family now.
Is.
Mission statement that I've made for Anointed Radio is, if united brings change. And what
amen. That means,
the body of Christ can unite. We can make a major change in the kingdom where, guess what? Church won't be whack and people will want to come and see us.
Did you just change it? You better do an addendum.
Come on, Jamar.
I love it.
I'm just saying.
He said church won't be whack. That was, I felt a little coldness come through. I felt a little.
No, I'm just saying, because that's what people saying. So I'm just, if the body of Christ came together, amen. The body of Christ came together, we can make a change so people don't feel that they have to go and out.
So,
with that being said, we appreciate you, Doc, for coming on. This definitely won't be the last time. and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I don't have a choice. My mother killed me if I don't.
Oh, then you're gonna get voluntold into this thing.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you guys for lending your platform to us artists. Artists like yourself and ministers like yourself, I appreciate being here, and I'm glad to be part of the family now.
Amen. Welcome to the fold.
Right, Yielded, I'm hitting you up.
Yeah, hit me up. You got my email and all that good jazz. Send me some music and let me know who it is so I can call. So I won't talk to him.
I said,
now on to him.
He's able. He did it, and we thank him.
Amen. So, everybody, if you just joined in, I'm sorry that you missed it. It was a great conversation, but you don't have to miss it. If you didn't know, Anointed Radio is on all podcast platforms, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Tuner, all everything but Tidal. So go and check us out on our podcast platform.
Is it everywhere but where?
Tidal.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. We ain't on Tidal, but we on everything else. So make sure that you go and check us out and make sure that you stay tuned. Follow, subscribe, share, download the Anointed Radio. Follow us on LV Anointed Radio. And make sure that you go buy Deontay Duckett's album when it comes out in May on the undisclosed time frame when it comes out. Just got to follow his social media so that you can know what we don't know, because we didn't get nothing about no date.
Deliver Me was right now. Hey, you can get Deliver Me right now.
You could buy for 99 cents.
Oh, just $1. You're gonna do that at the store anyway, so just go ahead and give it to me.
So instead of the $179,
it's cheaper than a tater chip.
You ain't getting none for 99 cents these days. Even Dollar Tree.
No, Dollar Tree's $1.25 now.
You hear me?
I like how they did an addendum and then just gonna change that. But anyway, Lord, praise God. Felt it in my spirit, down in my soul. So I want you guys to make sure you guys follow and stay blessed, stay healthy. There's a lot of people still getting COVID. COVID ain't went nowhere. People still getting sick. They got viruses like new updates on the iPhone. Please make sure that you stay healthy, build your immune system, and just make sure that you stay connected. And it's never too late, because God is always there. With that being said, we'll see y'all next week. Bye, everybody.
Bless you. Good night.